This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Chief cook here at the barbecue place that Cecil has opened on North Grand Avenue?
Not at all.
Did you? You real excited about that? No, you're not. I can tell by the pause. Did you try to talk him out of it?
This is his dream.
Really?
And he's been talking about it forever and ever and ever. And this just kind of seemed like the right time. And it's actually going pretty well.
I'll bet.
Yeah, we only been open less than 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, just kind of a soft opening.
Can you dine in or is it all?
You can.
You got tables
there?
We
do it all. You can all right. Dine in. You can carry out. We even did a couple of deliveries last week.
So everybody knows where it's at. Sam's Pizza on the corner, 8th and North Grand. Mm-hmm. Cigars for Aficionados almost next door. And then next door to it is the barbecue place.
There you go. Yeah,
we got it covered.
We got it all covered.
And cut closed only on Sunday.
Only on Sunday. And you know, when I was on the city council, that was an area where three wards all came together.
Yeah.
And it was we had talked about revitalizing that corridor, and so you know, this is kind of plays into that whole revitalization period.
I apologize. I didn't see the parade. Were you in the parade?
Yeah, I love a parade.
Oh, I know you do.
I love a parade, and it was phenomenal. I had such a good time. And I was actually looking for you because you're usually at that period where we make that turn.
Yeah, yeah.
And you weren't there.
No, they I think they get different announcers to satisfy all the radio stations.
Well, I was
in
very
town.
Disappointed when I didn't see you.
Well, I appreciate that. We talked earlier. And I know we got maybe a couple issues to talk about. You folks are in session. You go back today and so on. Is the day, what's happened to the precinct committeemen? I mean, when I see the vacancies, both on the, in Sangamon County only, but it's everywhere, it's statewide. How's it changed, Doris? There was a time where when you're a candidate, you always had a really good relationship with mm-hmm. the precinct committeemen. Now it seems like that's not necessarily the case. Tons of vacancies mm-hmm. on both sides. What's going on?
Absolutely. It has definitely changed. I remember, you know, I've been doing this for a really long
sure.
time, and I remember when Cecil was a precinct committeeman. Oh, my God, he was a committeeman maybe back in the early, mid-70s.
Okay.
And it was, all the spots were full. The
Absolutely.
Committee calls were, you know, it was full. People were always there. Very active. Actually, he was the top Democrat. He had the top Democratic precinct outside of Cook County for like 20 years.
Really?
I mean, that's how hard, you know, people
sure.
worked to get out the vote. But you're right. Things have really changed. There are a lot of vacancies. And it seems like the biggest turnout that you get for a committee call is when there is a county chair election. You know, people come out and vote. And then, you know, they kind of disappear, come back together during election season. But, you know, that every day, all day, hustle bustle. I don't know. It's just things have changed. You know, committeemen don't really, I don't think they feel that they have the opportunity to really do things for their constituents.
There's no doubt.
You know, like they used to.
Well, and we always talk about, you know, getting mm-hmm. summer jobs
yeah.
for kids
and
or getting helping somebody get on with the state.
Yeah.
That day's gone.
I think that has a lot to do with it. And, you know, people don't understand that because I even still get a lot of calls from people, you know, talking about jobs
sure.
and those kinds of things. And you know, I'm like, I can talk to you about how you go through the process, but the reality is in state government now, about 98-99% of the jobs are union jobs, and there's a process that you have to go through. And it's difficult to get the general public's minds set to change with that.
There was a day at the state fair, summer jobs. You mm-hmm. just went over, you put your application in at the
yeah.
ag, you got hired. Now you go online through CMS.
Yeah, because it's
wow.
the same, you know, it's the same process for a summer job as it is for a full-time.
Really?
Full-time job. Yeah, it is. And you're absolutely right. I've been doing this long enough to see that whole transition.
Well, it has changed dramatically, and mm-hmm. people who don't stay on top of it when they get, and they remember it was 20, 30 years ago, mm-hmm. and it has changed dramatically. We were talking off air a little bit. When you talk to constituents, when you talk to groups, and they want to know how they can become effective or even involved, you used a very key word, and you said relationships. Mm-hmm. Expand a little bit.
No, I think this this business is all about relationships. It's about working, knowing how to work with people, knowing how to talk to people, knowing how to, you know, disagree without being disagreeable. Because nobody's going to agree with you on everything. I mean, you know, I've been married a long time, and me and my husband don't agree on everything. But it's about disagreeing and not being disagreeable. And, you know, I really think that one of the reasons why I have been so successful in this business is because I know how to work. I know how to work with people that we may not always agree on everything, but we can work together for the good of you know.
I know that it's not in your district, but certainly there are a lot of people are, and I know that Senator Sally Turner and other peoples are very, very concerned.
The Turner Caucus.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's right. There's got to be some concern about what the talk is up at the Logan Correctional Facility.
You know, that facility is not in my district, but right. I have a lot of constituents who work there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so Senator Sally Turner and I have been talking about that. We have been watching the situation very closely, have been in conversation with the administration, been in a conversation with AFSCME to, you know, just to kind of ensure that our constituents that work in the facility, but also the inmates that are in the facility, you know, are understand what's going on and that their best interests are, you know, looked out for.
How are we going to balance the budget? It's a very, very challenging time.
The budget is balanced.
Okay, but we're going to base it all on the proposed fee increases? Think they're all going to pass?
You know, I will tell you that one of the challenges of the state has been for years and years and years a balanced budget.
Absolutely.
And you know, deficiencies in our checkbook. But I will tell you, through the work that, you know, the governor and all of us have done, we've come a mighty, mighty, mighty long way in these past, you know, 6 years. And things are still looking good. I mean, we are still working hard. Our checkbook is not as flush as it has been.
Right.
But, you know, we're still doing well. And I think that we are on a path to continue that. I'm excited about where we are fiscally. I'm excited about, you know, the upgrades that we have, that we continue to receive, that really help us in being able to not only serve our constituents well, but put our state in a good fiscal, you know, position to be successful for years to come.
Give me an update on the proposal to expand the BOS Center. Where are we at, and where are the next steps that are going to be taken?
It's interesting that you say that, because I had a conversation with Representative Coffey yesterday, who, you know, is kind of wearing two hats, because
sure.
He's the chairman,
yeah,
of the chairman of the center, but also, you know, an elected representative. And then he has a business downtown,
right,
very, very close to there. So he's very, you know, has a lot of irons in the fire with this. So there was a feasibility study. That feasibility study was completed. And so now we're just looking at, based on the feasibility study, how we get all of the players in place and move forward with deciding what's the best option. The feasibility study provided several different options in order, you know, to move forward. So now I think it's just deciding what's the best option and how we move forward with identifying financing.
You have high priority for you, education. Anything
always
major going on? Is legislation, proposed legislation that would impact education?
You know, education has always been a priority for me, no matter what hat I was wearing. I have a couple of bills that are making their way through the General Assembly with regard to education and higher education as well. So, you know, it's preschool through, you know, higher education. And I believe that we have to put all of our students in position to be lifelong learners. So even after graduation, you know, I'm still looking at things like workforce development and, you know, how we get people in the best position to be successful. Sometimes that's, you know, looking at achieving a four-year degree. Sometimes it's going right into the workforce. And we have to do everything that we can to ensure that our students are successful no matter what pathway they decide to take.
Some senators proposed free lunch programs at the schools. You like that?
I do like that. There are a number of nutrition farm-to-table programs that are making their way through the General Assembly, and it's very exciting. This is a very exciting time. You know, I chair the Senate Agriculture Committee, and we are looking at a number of pieces of legislation that I think are going to be extremely exciting. I have one that I want to talk about for a couple of minutes. So I was actually at an event, and someone came up and started talking to me about this farmers market in a building in Rixton, Illinois, and it sounded so just intriguing. So I reached out to the person who was doing it. She came in and talked to me, and that has led to a piece of legislation that is now on the Senate floor to provide funding opportunities to assist farmer-owned grocery stores. And so very exciting, you know, because we always talk about food deserts and talk about food insecurity. And so this is a very unique opportunity for us to fill some of those voids. So that's a big piece that I think is going to really be an exciting thing. So watch for this. I'm here to tell you it's going to be big.
I'll tell you what else is going to be big. I think I'm right on this. Everybody's saying, well, 14% of Sangamon County voted. Well, first of all, there are no contests to speak of yesterday. And still a lot of people don't want to declare their political party affiliation. I suspect November it's going to be huge. I think both parties are going to make sure that people get out to vote.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You're right. Yesterday was the primary. There were not contested races. I want to tell you, though, I was on the ballot twice, and I won twice, so the Turner streak is alive and well. It helped that I didn't have opposition.
Yeah, that does.
However, a winning streak is a winning streak, no matter how you play it.
We've talked about Cecil. How's Blake doing? It was a very kind of frustrating season to coach this year for Blake Turner. He saw some highs and he saw some lows. When they say, and I know this is people's phrase, you never knew which team was going to show up at Lampier, and boy, He kind of had that experience this year.
I used to say that all the time. It's like you never know which team is going to show up, because we had games where we were the total underdogs and we came out and crushed it. Then we had games where, you know, everybody thought this was going to be a walk in the park, and we ended up, you know, not being so successful. So it was, but overall, I think it was a really good season. He had a young team. He had a very young team. And they did well. They had a winning season. They came up a little bit short and didn't go as far in the March Madness as they had hoped to go. But they did they came back and did what Lampier does. We took back city tournament.
Right.
So that was a big high, and so we just it's something to build on. But I will tell you, everybody talks about all of the different rivalries that are in the city, but I will tell you that Blake has worked with LT at Southeast, Tim at Sacred Heart Griffin, and Coach at MacArthur, and they have put together a program called Winners United, and they work with all of the players in the area. So be watching for it. They have an all-star game coming up soon, in about 2 weeks, and they did some other things last year as well. So I'm really excited about that. I'm really proud of the work that Blake is doing, not just at Lampier, but in the community with the other coaches and with kids, because for a lot of kids, sports and basketball is a really, really big part of their life. And when you can hone in on that and have them to look at what they can do with that and how it transcends to why you need to be successful in the classroom and why you need to be successful and get involved in your community, those kinds of things, it's really makes for a successful community. And I'm excited about the work that they're doing. Yeah, so watch for it.
Thank you,
ma'am. Did you ever think that you'd see a time when, you know, like Southeast Memphis and Sacred Heart Griffin
coaches
would
getting
be
along,
working together,
together
on
for
something?
The betterment of the community?
Mm-hmm.
Best move ever.
Awesome.
One of the best ones. Really was. That's a great step.
That's what we Turners do. We work together.
I'm working with you. And I appreciate you stopping in to saying hello.
Yeah.
But your work is done, my lady. Have a good day.
You have a good day, too.
Thanks. I mean, here it's done. Not done.
No,
completely,
no, no. I'm
as far
just
as this table's concerned.
I'm just getting started,
you're out of
buddy.
Here. Nice talking to you.
You put me out.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.